Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. Well, last week I told a story about how Christy and I periodically disagree as parents because she has, and disagree on parenting decisions because she has the audacity to believe that she's a better parent than I am and that she knows how to parent our two daughters better than I do. And Christy heard that sermon and she wanted me to set the record straight, and she gave me a statement that she wanted me to read word for word. And it just says this: I am a better parent, Christy. And that's all it says, I suppose. So now that I got that out of the way, welcome to the final week of this series called Your Marriage Can Thrive. And here's the deal. Every couple who's ever gotten married went into marriage with the dream, with desire, with the hope that their marriage was going to thrive. Unfortunately for many, they don't. You know, 43% of all marriages end up in divorce, and a large percentage of those that don't end up in divorce just end up lifeless or just surviving. And that's not what God intended. God created marriage, and he didn't create anything mediocre. He didn't create your marriage to just simply survive. He created your marriage to thrive. And I know for some of you, the idea of a thriving marriage feels more like a punchline than a possibility, but it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, regardless of the current state of your marriage or what you've experienced in your marriage or what you will experience in your marriage, I believe your marriage can thrive, but, and this is so important, not by accident. No matter how it started, what it's been through, what obstacles stand in the way, I believe that every marriage, I believe your marriage can thrive, but no marriage will ever thrive on accident. And that's what we're talking about throughout this series. Throughout this series, we've been uncovering three essential causes of a thriving marriage. Now, what we're talking about in this series, they're not the only causes of a thriving marriage, but these three are definitely essential for it, which means what you choose to do or not do with these three will directly affect whether your current or single people, your future marriage thrives or not. Now, before we land the plane on this series, I want to invite, once again, every married and every engaged couple to attend what we're calling Marriage Weekend, which will take place right here at the Relevant Center on July 18th through 19th. Marriage Weekend is a two-day event for you to slow down, to invest in your marriage, to connect with others, and to grow closer with your spouse. I just want to encourage every married couple, every engaged couple to attend, because even though this series will be helpful in having a thriving marriage, having a thriving marriage really requires constant work and intentionality. So you can sign up, you can find out more information on the marriage page of our app or our website. If you want a link to go straight there, just text the word marriage to 55444. Or if you want to talk to someone or have any questions or want to sign up in person, you can do so at the Next Step area. All right, 2 weeks ago we launched a series talking about the first essential cause of a thriving marriage, which is forgiveness. Last week we talked about the second, which is acceptance. And before I reveal the third one to you today, I have a question for you. And that question is, what's the purpose of marriage? What's the purpose of marriage? And most people never stop to actually think about what it is, which is why if I went around the room right now and forced every single one of you to answer this question, there'd be 1,000 different answers. And how you'd answer would probably depend on what stage of life that you're in. If you're in middle school, you might answer the purpose of marriage is to have babies. If you're in high school, you might answer the purpose of marriage is to engage in the activity that creates the babies. I've not told you before, I've done around 200 wedding ceremonies, and I always ask this question before I marry anyone. And every young couple I sit across with and I ask this question, they kind of answer it the same way. The purpose of marriage is to have a best friend to be by my side through everything for the rest of my life. Older people who maybe are single, if you'd say, the purpose of marriage maybe is to not be alone. If you're divorced, you might say, I know what the purpose of marriage is. It's to destroy my life. That is the purpose of marriage. And if you're the married people, whether how long or short you've been married, kind of you'd maybe change your answer depending on what season of life you're in. You may say, purpose of marriage is love or companionship or family. So what's the purpose? Is it all of those? Is it none of those? Is it something different? I mean, many of us don't know because most of us haven't really thought about it. So through my experience, when I ask people this question, most people tend to list the outcomes of a thriving marriage. Love, intimacy, companionship, instead of the actual purpose for marriage, which is crazy when you think about it. I mean, when it comes to the biggest commitment we'll ever make, when it comes to the most important relationship we'll ever have, when it comes to the relationship that will impact our lives more than any other relationship, most of us haven't thought about the purpose of it. And then we wonder why so many of our marriages are dying or simply surviving instead of thriving. They aren't thriving because you can't aim at what you can't aim at what you haven't defined. If you want to have a thriving marriage, if that's your target, if that's what you want to aim at, you first need to define and know the purpose of marriage. Now, if there is a creator God, which I obviously believe there is, and if he did create everything, which I obviously believe that he did, then he created marriage. And since he created it, he has a purpose for it because he has a purpose for everything he created. So I think the best and the most transformational thing we can do for ourselves and our marriages is not guess the answer to this question, but instead ask a better question. And that question is, what's Creator God's purpose for marriage? See, I believe experiencing a thriving marriage is a gift of God. It's a work of God. It's a blessing of God. And I believe God wants to bless you with a thriving marriage, but experiencing that doesn't happen by accident or just because you stand up in front of your family and friends and say, I do. For any marriage to be blessed by Creator God requires first we live his purpose for it. And the really good news is we don't have to wonder what God's purpose for marriage is because he revealed it to us right at the beginning of Scripture, first book of the Bible, Genesis, Chapter 2. In Genesis 1 through 2, God's in the midst of creating everything, which we're told that he does in 7 days. And then on the sixth day, we read he reaches the climax of his creation when he created human beings. The writer of Genesis tells us that the first human God created was a man out of the dust of the ground, whom he named Adam. Of which right now all the ladies are going, I knew all men were made of dirt. Like you just knew it. In verse 15 of Genesis 2, the very first thing we see God do with Adam is give us as individuals our purpose. Now, this is so huge. What God did here is lay the foundation not just for Adam's purpose, but for every human who would come after him. Me. You. Verse 15. The Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. We can't understand God's purpose for marriage without first understanding God's purpose for us as individuals. And in this one short verse, right at the beginning of the Bible, we see God's purpose for us as individuals is to bring glory to him by doing his will and his work. Single people, married people, that truth will change your entire life if you grasp and if you pursue it. You were created on purpose, for a purpose. And your purpose is not about you. Your purpose and my purpose is to bring glory to God. If you grasp that and if you pursue it, it will transform your entire life. Well, as Adam gets to work, God notices something just wasn't right. Verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, if you go back and read in Genesis 1, you're going to notice that each time God looked at what he created, he said, it is good. But when he saw Adam by himself, he said, this ain't good. Adam needs an intimate companion to help do my work and glorify me. Verse 19. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whenever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. According to the writer of Genesis, as God brought every animal to Adam for him to name them, none of them were found to be a suitable helper to bring glory to God by doing his work with Adam. So God decided, all right, I'm going to create something new. And this is going to blow Adam's mind. Verse 21, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman, whom we later find out is named Eve, from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. God created the first woman. And now there are two individuals God, Creator God, created on purpose, for the purpose of bringing glory to him. And here's how Adam responded. The man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, for she was taken out of a man. See, the moment Adam laid eyes on Eve, he was so taken back by her beauty, he praised God for her. When he said this, he was essentially saying, God, you did something amazing when you created the giraffes and the elephants, good work. Jaguars, I like them. But this, Eve, and then what the writer of Genesis said next gives the key to understanding God's purpose for marriage. Verse 24, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become, here it is, one flesh. In this short section of Scripture, we see Creator God's purpose for us as individuals is to bring glory to him. We also see Creator God's created purpose for marriage. And according to the writers of Scripture, the purpose of marriage is to unite two individuals as one to glorify God more together than either ever could do apart. You guys, this is so cool. If you're married, God has a purpose for your marriage. It's to unite you together as one, not ultimately for your benefit and for your happiness, but for a much bigger, more divine, transformational, life-giving purpose, which is to glorify him. Marriage was created by God and is ordained by God, ultimately with the purpose of bringing glory to God together. God calls some people to be single, but whenever he calls two to unite as one, it's for him to be glorified more than if they were to remain single. According to the writers of Scripture, this is Creator God's ultimate purpose for your marriage, which means choosing to live it or not affects if you're choosing God's blessing upon your marriage or not, affects you having a thriving marriage or not. And how we live out our purpose is by growing in spiritual oneness. Here's the big idea. A thriving marriage requires growing in spiritual oneness together. Now let me be very clear. Spiritual oneness is not believing God exists. Spiritual oneness is not just having God a part of your lives. Spiritual oneness is not simply praying before meals or attending on Sundays when you can. Spiritual oneness is not spiritual uniformity. Spiritual oneness is glorifying God together by following Jesus together. Marriage was never created to be a relationship just between two people. It was created to be an intimate relationship between three. God created humanity, me, you, marriage, for a relationship with him. And if you read throughout, continue to read throughout Genesis, you're going to see that our choice to sin was such a huge violation against Holy Creator God, against his created intent for us, which is to be holy, how he is holy, and against his created will for us, which is to glorify him in all that we are and all that we do, that it broke our relationship with him, thus separating us from his power and his presence in our lives. But out of his great love for us, his creation, people who didn't deserve his love because of our violation of sin against him, you and me, because of his great love for us, he sent his son, Jesus, to save us from the penalty of our violation of sin against him, to forgive us for our sin against him, to restore and redeem and reconcile our broken relationship with him in this life and in the next, to offer us eternal life, and to transform us now and back into everything he originally created us to be. That's what Jesus gave his life on the cross for, and that's what Jesus rose from the grave to do and prove that only he can do. And how we enter into a saving relationship with Holy Creator God is through faith in Jesus. By putting our faith in Jesus, asking him to be the forgiver of my sin, my Savior, and declaring we want him to be the leader of our lives. Jesus, I want to follow you as my Lord. And listen, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, you would not call yourself a follower of Christ. I am so glad you're here today. There is never any pressure that we will ever put on you to put your faith in Jesus. And I know it seems crazy and it seems like a long shot to even say to you, but today, if you feel a stirring and you feel the sense of like, I just feel like I ought to do that, I believe that's God working in your heart. And today, before we leave, when I pray, I'm going to give you an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus. Now, putting our faith in Jesus doesn't only affect our lives. It doesn't only affect our eternities. It also affects our marriages. The more a couple grows in spiritual oneness by following Jesus together, the more God is glorified through their marriage, and that is when God chooses to bless a marriage. Here's the last sentence of Genesis 2. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And this verse, it doesn't seem to fit, but it actually has deep meaning. The phrase, felt no shame, in short, means they were blessed by God. And when a marriage is blessed by God is when we experience the outcomes of a thriving marriage. Put up that picture again. I mean, take a look at this picture. As married couples, the more we grow in spiritual oneness together, the closer we grow to God and to one another. And the more that happens, the more we experience a love within our marriage, a peace within our marriage, a fulfillment within our marriage, a hope within our marriage, an acceptance within our marriage, a happiness within our marriage, an intimacy within our marriage that can only come from the power and the presence and the blessing of God. And those are the outcomes of a thriving marriage we all want. But here's the problem. Want doesn't mean anything. I want to invite my friend Nick up here on the stage. Nick, wherever you're at, come on up here real quick, buddy. Way in the back there. Come on, you big lug of muscle. So when Nick gets up here, here's what you're going to notice about Nick. He's ginormous. Nick is a bodybuilder. Nick owns a few gyms, one here in Omaha called Iron Heaven, a few others, different places. He's crazy. He's a personal trainer. He clearly does not skip leg day or chest day or shoulder day. He doesn't skip any day. Now, Nick and I, we both lift weights a lot. Nick and I actually lift at the same gym. I want to look like Nick. And clearly, I do not look like Nick. And Nick looks the way he looks for one reason, and that is because the level of his intentionality to grow is absolutely next level. Nick doesn't just lift weights. I kind of just lift weights. Nick doesn't just lift weights. He's extremely intentional about how he works out, when he works out, how he recovers, what supplements he uses. He's intentional about every detail, every decision, every day. I want to be as big as Nick, because these are awesome right here. I mean, I want to be as big as Nick. And I know before he got up here, you were thinking you are. And then you saw him and you're like, you're just a little guy. You know? I want to be as big as Nick. Want doesn't mean anything. If want was enough, I would look like Thor. In order to grow to look like Nick, I have to match his intentionality to grow across the board. Now, Nick, thank you for coming on stage with your clothes on today. I appreciate it, brother. Love you. Guys, give it up for my friend Nick. Now, here's the point. Don't miss this. You can want a thriving marriage all day long. Want doesn't mean anything. A thriving marriage requires growing and spiritual oneness. And just like the difference between me and Nick, growing in anything doesn't happen by accident. It requires extraordinary intentionality. So, for the next few minutes, I want to give you a few practices for you and your spouse to intentionally grow in spiritual oneness together by following Jesus together. I want you to look at these practices as like Nick in the gym. Intentionality. Now, these are not the only practices, but they'll definitely help you both keep your eyes on Jesus together so that you can move toward him together. Now, single people, don't tune out as I go through these just because you're not married. Because if you're not intentionally following Jesus now, you won't start magically following Jesus after you get married. The more intentionally you follow Jesus now, the more you'll be transformed into everything God's created you to be, and then the more likely you'll be to attract someone and be attracted to someone who's doing the exact same thing. Now, that is going to make it 1,000 times easier to intentionally grow in spiritual oneness in your future marriage so that you can actually experience having a thriving marriage. Now, this first one is something I referred to earlier. It's be surrendered to Jesus together. Now, this might be hard for some of you to hear, but it's the truth, and I'm only saying it because I love you. You can't grow in spiritual oneness together if you both haven't entered into a saving relationship with Jesus and are surrendered to following him together. Which starts with both of you putting your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. If both of you haven't put your faith in Jesus, you might be able to have a good marriage, but you won't be able to grow in spiritual oneness to have a thriving marriage because you won't be living out your purpose of glorifying God together. You need to know that. Which means, once again, I just want to say, if for some reason there's a stirring inside of you to feel like that feels like, I just feel like I should put my faith in Jesus today, I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a few minutes when I pray to do that. Here's the second one. Gather together. To intentionally grow in spiritual oneness together, be committed to gather together on Sundays with your church. Consistently gathering to worship God and to be being exposed to practical biblical teaching together helps fuel your faith together. It inspires and empowers you to take next steps to follow Jesus together. It helps keep your eyes focused on Jesus together. It unites you in your direction together. Couples who gather with their church together grow in spiritual oneness together. Here's the next one. Connect together. To intentionally grow in spiritual oneness together, be connected in a healthy, transformational, smaller community of people together, a small group. At Relevant, we call these T-Life groups. The more each of you are transformed into who God's created you to be, the more you'll live out your purpose of glorifying God individually and together. But you need to know, we say it all the time, transformation doesn't happen in isolation. Listen, even if you're not part of the same T-Life group, both of you being in a T-Life group where you're being challenged and equipped to grow in your relationship with Jesus, where you're connecting in community with other people who are taking next steps to follow Jesus, where you're impacting people for Jesus, will help you grow in spiritual oneness together. Couples who are connected with people who are following Jesus are more likely to follow Jesus together. Next one, impact together. Listen, every marriage needs a mission. Every marriage needs a mission. To intentionally grow in spiritual oneness together, be on a mission together that impacts people for Jesus. And the easiest way to do that is by each of you having a primary ministry at Relevant, by each of you serving on a team. When you are both serving on a team, whether you serve on the same team or different teams, you take your eyes off yourselves and you focus them onto something greater. You focus them onto Jesus' mission together. And when a marriage shares that mission, it thrives with purpose. That will transform you individually. That will transform your marriage. Couples that are making an impact for Jesus together grow in spiritual oneness together. Here's the next one. Pray together. Prayer is one of the most spiritually intimate and vulnerable things you can do as a couple, which is why it can feel so darn awkward. But we must not let the awkwardness stop us, because prayer is powerful. It's powerful because it invites God into your marriage. It's how you relationally interact with God together. It keeps your eyes focused on Jesus together. It cultivates intimacy and connection with one another. It builds unity with one another. It's how you fight against the enemy, Satan, together, who, by the way, wants to destroy your marriage and is working every day to do it, so you better start fighting against him together, and you cannot do that without praying together. Couples who pray together do more than just stay together. They grow in spiritual oneness together. And here's the final one. Be generous together. According to Jesus, money is the number one competitor for our hearts and our trust in him. If you've been a part of Relevant for any period of time, you've heard me say 1,000 times, generosity generates transformation. And the reason generosity generates transformation is because God uses our generosity to grow our trust in him and to transfer our trust from our riches to the one who richly provides. And as our trust in him grows, so goes our relationship with him. That's why the more a couple grows in trusting God together, the more they grow in spiritual oneness together. Couples who are generous together, they're transformed together. A thriving marriage requires growing in spiritual oneness together. And growing in anything doesn't happen by accident. It requires extraordinary intentionality. Now, these aren't the only ways to grow in spiritual oneness together, but they're powerful ones. These 6 practices will help you both keep your eyes focused on Jesus together so that you can move toward him together, thus moving toward one another. So you want to have a thriving marriage? It starts with you. It does not start with your spouse. It starts with you. So let me ask you a question. What intentional next step do you need to take to follow Jesus? If you're not intentional about following Jesus, how will your marriage ever be? You are 50% of the equation. Now, married people, here's my question for you together. What intentional next step do you need to take together to grow in spiritual oneness? And here's probably how you know. As I went through those 6 practices, and I said something that was like, that's the one. You don't even need to pray about it. That's the one. I promise you. Listen, I believe you're here because you want to have a thriving marriage. Want doesn't mean anything. Intentionality does. So talk about this together. Talk about it today together. Talk about it in your T-Life groups this week. Whatever next step you need to take, intentionally take it, because a thriving marriage requires growing in spiritual oneness together. Listen, regardless of where your marriage is today, whether it's thriving, surviving, struggling, whether you're newly married, remarried, or been married for decades, whether you've experienced joy, pain, or both, your marriage can thrive, but not by accident. These are not the only causes, but three essential causes of every thriving marriage are forgiveness. A thriving marriage requires two good forgivers. Acceptance. A thriving marriage can only exist within a culture of acceptance. And spiritual oneness. A thriving marriage requires growing in spiritual oneness together. I want to close out this series by showing you a story of some of my good friends, Chris and Laura Holder, whose marriage went from surviving to thriving because they chose to apply these three essential causes. Now, we actually shot this video about 5 years today, so 5 years ago, so some of you have seen this before, but I wanted to show it to you again because it's so powerful. Go ahead and take a look.
We started to drift in our marriage. After kids. I was focused on career. We had two babies at home. Laura stayed at home. We weren't going to church. I think we did once in a while, Christmas and Easter with my parents.
I didn't know really what a role of a wife was supposed to look like. I had an awesome example of mom growing up, but I didn't ever really see that deep connection that a husband and a wife have in my house. And so I thought my job, my responsibility was truly focused on the kids. So they became number one priority over everything, even myself. And so I didn't really realize the impact that that had by not putting spouse first.
I was a different person back then. I guess I didn't quite care if I did hurt Laura.
We were in a state of isolation. We were afraid to tell people that we weren't okay, right? It's scary and kind of embarrassing to tell your best friends, like, dude, we don't got this. We need help. That's a really hard thing to do. And luckily, we found some people that we could open up to, and they were actually the ones that invited us to Relevant. And when we finally went, both of us come as you are is a very true statement. And the first time I went in a church that I didn't feel like I had to leave because I didn't understand.
I think 3 or 4 months later, I joined a men's group. I joined the group as a non-believer. I came as I am. I joined the group for the practical teachings of, I need to be a better man, a better husband. I know there's room for growth for myself. I seriously explored Christ probably about a year before I finally said, okay, I'm poking holes in this and I keep getting valid reasons as why this is true, why Christ was real, Christ died for my sins, and Christ rose 3 days later. And I think once I put my faith in Jesus, that linear growth of our marriage was just exponential after I put my faith in Jesus.
I had a harder time opening up about what was going on between the two of us. So I reached out to one of the marriage ministry leaders, Jen Marion, and she met with me for coffee. And I sat in a Scooters telling my story to a complete stranger. At this point, I still didn't believe in God and Jesus. And she sat down with me and didn't judge and just let me speak. And from then on, we just kind of met every week. I finally got to the point where it was like, okay, something bigger than us has to fix this because we've exhausted everything at this point. And I remember one Sunday at the end of Ronnie's sermon, he was talking about being stuck in a pit and how God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. And it was that weekend that I was like, okay, I am putting my faith in Jesus and I am letting go of control and just trusting that this is where we're supposed to be to get us through this, because I had nothing left. It had to be God at that point. We ended up meeting with Scott, Jen's husband, and they just continued to invest in us as we were walking our own path. And I don't know, I mean, I've never had anyone do that for me in my life, like truly care and take time out of their schedule outside of my family to want to see me grow and my relationship with my spouse grow. So that was really special. There was a lot that each one of us had to forgive the other for in order for us to move on in our marriage. We hit rock bottom and we worked really hard and we made God the focus of our marriage, and now we're thriving again.
But our hard work wouldn't have been possible if we didn't put our faith in Jesus.
You know, you lay it all down at the foot of the cross and it's forgiven, and then you move on. The old is gone, the new has come, and we didn't fix our old marriage. It's been recreated into something new, something greater than either one of us could have ever imagined with the help of heart care.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good now.
No matter how your marriage started, no matter what it's been through, no matter what obstacles stand in the way, your marriage can thrive, but not by accident. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son for us to restore and redeem and reconcile the relationship that our violation of sin against you broke. Jesus, thank you for your great love for us, for your sacrifice, for being our Savior, for being our King. And I pray that those of us who have put our faith in you and say that we're followers of you, Jesus, that as married couples, we keep our eyes focused on you together, following you together, growing in spiritual oneness together, in order to glorify you together and live out our purpose. And as we do, I pray you do a transforming work in us. I pray you produce all the blessings of a thriving marriage that only you can produce. I pray we're intentional, 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 intentional. And we stop using the word want to, and we start saying, I'm going to. Lord, for every person who's never put their faith in you, Jesus, who just feels a prompting and a stirring, they feel like they're ready to do that now. I pray that right now, where they're at in this room at home, that quietly, they just pray to put their faith in you. That right now, they confess their need for a Savior because of their sin. And they declare, Jesus, they believe you are the Savior, that your death and resurrection was sufficient for their salvation and the forgiveness of their sins. And right now they ask you to be their Savior. Right now they put their faith in you, Jesus, asking you to be the forgiver of their sins. And they declare right now that they want to follow you as the leader of their life, as their Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.